Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the podcast in the midst of the Twilight Zone that we now live in. it's me, Eric. I've missed you. And my boy, Jared. Say hi, Jared.
Hey, what's up, guys? Good to have you back, Eric.
It's good to be back. It's been, it's been crazy times. So just to, out of the gate, just for catharsis, if nothing else, what is, share your either highlight or low light or weirdest experience of the past, you know, 3+ months of quarantine, coronavirus, that whole thing.
Okay, so what kind of stands out to me is sometime in early May, when my wife and I were just about ready to just go crazy with the munchkins shut up in our house, we just said, let's go on a 20-hour drive with our kids.
Of course. Yeah, if they're driving you crazy in a reasonably sized house, why not cram yourselves into a minivan?
Yes, why not? And for context, they're ages 7, 5, and almost 2.
Perfect road trip ages.
They've never been in a car for probably, we've taken them, we haven't taken all three of them further than Flagstaff, I think. So this was far and away the biggest road trip commitment we have made as a family of 5. And here's where it got crazy for us. So the day before we left on the road trip, Elias crashed like hard. Elias is the almost 2-year-old. He crashed hard, chin to the floor, and ended up, and we had to take him to the ER to get stitches. It was awful, mostly because the ER was awful.
Well, yeah, this is bad times to be going to an ER for anything, but
so yeah. True. So true. I'm still scarred for it. Elias is fine. And
except for his literal scar that I'm right. Sure he now has.
Yeah, he probably will have a little scar. So we got that all taken care of. And then that afternoon, we noticed like a bunch of gooey stuff coming out of one of his ears.
Kids are so gross.
It's so gross. And this is like freshly stitched Elias now has gooey stuff coming out of his ears. Turns out he has a ruptured eardrum. And we are leaving the next day.
No.
To drive for 20 hours. So we are just set up for success here.
Yes. No reason to cancel the trip.
No, none whatsoever. We are crazy committed to this. So we go. Elias screamed like a madman on the way up to Flagstaff, probably because the air pressure was horrible.
For sure. That hurts my ears.
And then we warmed down somewhere between Albuquerque and Amarillo. And we made it to our destination. We hung out with our family and kind of just took advantage of working mobily.
Yeah.
Because we were at a stay-at-home order during that time. And my family's from Southwest Missouri. And my kids just turned into outdoor people.
Because it's cool enough to be outside.
That's right. That's right. We went hours without seeing them. It was phenomenal.
How childhood is supposed to be.
Yes. Yes. It was great. We had an awesome time. We learned a lot. We are still scarred a little bit from the road trip. But hey, that was one of my quarantine experiences. So there you go.
Man, you are a glutton for punishment. the weirdest thing that happened to me was we had been back to work. So we were all like, go work from home, stay out of here for the most part for months, a couple of months. It seemed like forever. And then we had just come back. We had been back a full week. And the Friday at the end of that week, my wife suddenly got sick with like a nasty chest cold. So I left in the morning. No. She was fine. I came home. She was hacking up a lung. It's like, well, here we go. I am about to be a widower. She is like, she does not sound good. This is happening. And so she had to go get tested. And it was, I don't know, before the days of the super fast test they have now. So it was like a week to get results. And they were just like, okay, well, until you get the results back, you and your family stay home. I thought, I just got done staying home. And now I had to call everybody like, hey, I know you're all back to the office. I won't be because apparently we're all going to die. But she did not have coronavirus, nor has anyone in my family yet. So it was just there's been so many false starts over this season. Like, hey, we're going to, just kidding. Don't do that. And that was the beginning of it for my family.
My goodness. Yeah, we probably all have a story or two like this or 7. It's just pretty crazy. Thanks for listening to our stuff.
Yeah, and I feel better now.
Yeah, I do too.
Just get that off your chest. So thank you for being our free therapists.
Yes.
All the listeners right now. If we haven't lost you by now, let's talk about something meaningful. Just the concept that we say around here, and maybe we use different verbiage off and on, but something we truly believe to our core, that coaches are not just chaperones. They're not just crowd control. Like, coaches are pastors to these students.
Truth.
Like, we believe that hardcore. And something I tell coaches whenever I can is that 10 years from now, students are not going to remember much of anything their pastors said or did. I grew up in youth group. I couldn't tell you a single message I heard or anything, but I could remember in detail just like dozens of experiences and conversations with my small group leader, with my coach. I imagine you're the same way, Jared.
Absolutely. I grew up in a really small church, and my youth pastor was basically my small group leader.
Fair enough.
So in that context, that's the coach.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. And so like just purely based on number, any of our campuses, like wherever you're at, if you look at just numerically, there is no way our handful of student pastors can know and care for and pastor every student that comes through our doors. And so we rely on coaches to fill that role.
That's right. That's right. Completely. Completely. There was a verse that Eric and I just threw out that really just speaks to this call of a pastor. And if you're a coach in our ministry, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, this is in reference to you and your role as a youth coach, as a pastor. Peter says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be." Such a good verse.
Such a great verse. Yeah, you should, if you're looking for new tattoo ideas, put that somewhere you can see it and remind yourself.
Yes.
But you are a shepherd of these wonderful, adolescent, often awkward sheep.
That's right.
And that is, that's not a duty. That's a privilege. That's a calling.
That's right.
It's something amazing. And so our question, as we're like, at the tail end of this really weird season, and we're at the recording of this, we're hopefully about to come back to some version of a more normal student ministry situation, is how can we better shepherd these students?
Yeah.
Like both right now and moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. And just for context, it is June 24th today.
Yes.
As Eric and I are recording this. This will be posted on Friday, July 3rd, I believe, is when you'll be hearing this podcast. But that's just the context of what Eric and I are talking about right now. And context changes so fast these days. So, you know, based on where we're at right now and just talking about, okay, so shepherding and seeing our students as our flock, being a pastor over your group, the question I think again is how can we do that better during this season? And I just wrote down two things really quick. These are not exhaustive things, but I want to remind you, your sheep, number one, your sheep need to hear their shepherd's voice. They need to hear their shepherd's voice. In actual real life, sheep get used to their shepherd's voice in such a way that if a foreigner, an outsider, another false shepherd was to come into the pasture and try to get the sheep to follow him, if the sheep didn't recognize that shepherd's voice, they'd be completely unresponsive to him or her. Crazy thing about sheep. And our students are the same way. If our students don't regularly hear your voice as the coach, as the pastor, as the shepherd, they're not going to be responsive to the things that you challenge and ask them to do. So they need to hear your voice. And I get it. Right now during this season, it's been so hard to get our voice into their lives.
We're all kind of Zoom fatigued and we're tired of digitally connecting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have to have that in mind right now. There's a serious void of the voice of the shepherd from our sheep right now. And we're going to talk about that more in just a second. So that's something that our students need. The second thing that I wrote down was shepherds should know the condition of their sheep, meaning it's part of the shepherd's regular duties in real life that they would go around to each sheep one by one and examine the sheep to make sure they didn't have any flies or infection or anything in order to make sure that the flock was healthy. And there's no way to do that by just walking out and looking at the entire flock and saying, yep, I think we're all good. You have to do it one at a time, slowly and carefully. And if you take that analogy into how we lead students, we have to remember that we achieve knowing the condition of our students one student at a time. If you expect that you can just get together with your students and have a good conversation and really understand the condition of where your student's heart is, where their faith is, it's just that's a myth. It's one student at a time. And that just takes slow, methodical care. And that's hopefully the season that we're going to have more readily available for us really soon.
We hope.
Yeah, we do. We totally do. So Eric, you wrote down some stuff that I think that maybe if we're just anticipating what's coming, I think we should be wise about what might be coming right now. So Eric's written down some stuff that I think is just, it's probably really true.
Yeah, it's not encouraging, but it's probably true, which is one of my greatest gifts. if you just look at what, trying to best, speaking in broad strokes, prepare ourselves for what kind of a student is walking back through those doors whenever we're finally able to do that. And just kind of looking at what's going on in our nation and statistics and studies that are going on, students coming back are probably pretty emotionally raw. Yeah. Like they've been, so much has happened. The end of their school year fell apart. Like they're dealing with all of that. And they've also on some level been just pretty lonely, anxious and depressed. They're angry. They're fearful about the world. I mean, there's just so much going on right now. And if you happen to be buried in your phone on social media all day long, as many of them are, you're just going to be depressed. There's no way around it. It's a kind of a pretty dark narrative that's circulating. And I think they're also wondering, what will normal be like? Like, will it ever get normal? Like, is my school going to reopen? Right. What about my sports team? Everything that they have thought about and planned for and just kind of expected out of life has been ripped out from under them. And so there's probably some rawness from a few different sources in most of our students, I would expect.
Yep. Emotionally raw. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. And this might be a bit of a strong word, but students who are a bit more addicted than maybe they usually are.
Yeah.
There's no secret to studies, and not even just studying youth, but just across America, porn use is up, alcohol is up, pills, like all the stuff that people turn to escape what's going on around them, our students are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So if you've got a group of students that you're regularly talking with, and one of the things they're trying to deal with and manage and keep track of is, you know, the porn issue on their phone or whatever, that has been a more difficult issue for them.
Yep.
For sure. Just tons of time to kill, nowhere to go. And a scary world will lead to doing that.
Yep.
And the last thing, this is not all of our students, but a subset, is there are some that are going to be coming back with some serious hurts, like serious stuff going on in their lives, and they haven't had a place that they could talk to about that. The DCS, the Department of Child Services, says that they typically get somewhere around 600 calls a month. And right now they're down to about 60. I mean, like all the, because most of those calls come from mandatory reporters. So schools and camps and churches and all the stuff that has been shut down since the spring.
Right.
And that's not because abuse has stopped.
Right.
That's because those students who happen to be in a terrible situation are trapped in that situation.
Yep.
So as we come back and as you begin re-engaging with your flock, don't go looking for that. You're not trying to pull that out of all your students or expecting every student to have that, but just be a little extra aware when a student starts hinting at something or saying, just sort of mention something that sounds a little bit off, follow up on that.
Yep.
Maybe in private, don't, you know, derail group time necessarily to talk about that, but just be on the lookout that there are certainly unreported situations that students have been stuck in for months, and they may finally be getting back to a place where they have somewhere safe to deal with that.
That's so well said, Eric. Students we can expect, we can anticipate, are going to be emotionally raw, probably more addicted, and there's going to be some serious hurts that we're going to deal with.
Yeah.
So shepherds, pastors, youth coaches, what do we do? What do we do? We've got to come back prayed up. And we talked about this in our last episode, and I'm gonna drive it home again because it's just that important. God works in incredible ways when we lean in and step out in faith. And I want to encourage you to be so prayed up as a shepherd. You know, shepherds spend their lives outdoors in quiet places. And that's just a unique opportunity for shepherds to be alone with God. So much of our lives is not spent like that. So we have to be intentional. And I want to continue to challenge you. Be intentional about getting alone time with Christ and laying your requests, bringing your students one by one to your Heavenly Father and just asking Him to intervene in their lives and to prepare you to pastor well. And then the next thing I want to encourage you to do is keep reaching out. We've got a couple weeks here left until potentially we're going to be able to regather, and that's going to be awesome. But keep reaching out. Don't get discouraged because sometimes you get ghosted or get rejected or you don't hear back. That's not your identity. That's not your identity as a youth coach. Okay. So erase those lies. Keep at it. One sheep at a time. One student at a time. And I just want to remind you, coaches, what we have coming, I see as an opportunity on the horizon. I know that it's going to be heavy. I know there's probably a lot of pastoral care coming our direction. But with all of that comes a potential for the Spirit to move in students' lives in a powerful way. Why? Because they've been experiencing some real brokenness. And broken hearts are receptive hearts that can hear from God, that can hear from you. So, coaches, we don't need volunteers right now. We need pastors. We need shepherds. Imagine what's at stake. Think about your students. Imagine how God could use you to impact their life, their faith, and their futures. And I'm going to leave you with that.
It's good stuff. Little Midland sermon, little mini sermon right at the end. But so true, so true. Coaches, we're excited to get back to normal. As you listen to this, even if it's still in the pre-normal days,
yep.
Pray for your students, reach out, send a text, a DM, or whatever you do. They may ghost you for a bit, but eventually something's going to happen. Your continued reaching out reminds them that you care, that yep. You're their shepherd. And they will turn to you when they need it.
That's right.
So coaches, thanks again. Thanks for devoting the time to becoming better, because as we say every single time, and we mean from the bottom of our hearts, when the coach gets better, the entire student ministry gets better. Praying that we are back together and normal real soon. We'll talk to you guys later.
See you guys.